Welcome to the J Perspective, where we aim to be real, fun, and healthy. Grab your healthy drink and join us as we meet Eddie Boaz. Now, I'm really excited that you're here because I'm really excited about people getting to know you and your perspective. So do you want to tell us a little bit about who you are first?
Well, I was born in Holland or the Netherlands in 1940, about 3 months before the Germans invaded Holland. And the Nazis took over Holland, and my parents being Jewish, the odds of me surviving ended up being 6 million to 1. However, I survived the Holocaust and as a young boy and ended up in Australia.
Amazing. How do we know each other? Let people know how we met.
I've written a book.
Yeah.
About my life, which I published in 2017. Yeah. And that's all about how I, my mother, my father, and my brother survived the Holocaust as a family. I'm not a victim, I'm a survivor.
Fantastic. And how can people get a hold of it?
At the moment, only through Amazon.
So they can get your book on Amazon as a Kindle?
As a Kindle.
Fantastic.
And I do a lot of speaking about the book, about my life.
Yeah.
At schools, at universities, at even at business for the type of resilience presentation. I mean, I've been around a bit. For an 85-year-old, I've done plenty of things.
You've done amazingly. And we met when you were speaking at Sydney Parliament House.
Yeah.
And I was there helping with the filming of the event.
Yeah.
And I want to just share with everyone a little bit about what happened when I met you. Now, I come from an extremist Islamic upbringing and birth, right? So I personally was taught to hate a lot of people, including Jewish people. And when I came to Australia, this was an amazing haven for me where I got to actually learn the truth that Jewish people are not my enemy. Christian people are not my enemy. Atheists are not my enemy. Buddhists are not my enemy. And found so many beautiful, amazing truths. And I decided, I started praying. I said, God, just, you know, this was what was intended, that I would hate Jewish people and have be part of an uprising against them and being taught to kill them. It would be amazing, God, that if you provide me with someone who I can support and champion their story if they're Jewish. And so I've been praying and waiting and waiting. And then when I went into that event where you were speaking and you were just speaking and I was just like, oh, this is the moment. Eddie, I found you. So for me, and we're going to tell everyone a little bit more about what we've done since we met. Yeah. The moment I heard you, I knew that it was part of my life calling, that from the time I met you until my time on earth finishes, I'm going to work on getting your family story told in an incredible way. So that's a little bit about how you and I met. And after that, we started talking about making a film about your family story based on your stories, based on your book. And what do we do since then?
Well, we'll come back to that in a second.
Yeah.
I still do a lot of speaking, although I'm cutting down a bit now. Sometimes I was doing two presentations a day and it just getting too much for me. But the point about what I believe, the Holocaust should never be forgotten. And that's why I'm doing what I'm doing for as long as I'll be able to do it. I don't mind speaking, as most people who know me know.
Yeah.
Sometimes they want me to shut up. But I believe in telling the story. I believe, and I tell it in a very simple way. Even in my book, you don't find one big word. And when I speak, it's all simple language. And people understand me the way I explain things. I get an enormous number of emails and after I've spoken somewhere or the story's been in the paper about me or whatever. And the point is that people understand and I explain simply that no Jew was killed during the war. They were all murdered. And that includes Anne Frank. And people understand that. And school children, and I don't believe, I don't want to speak to children under 12 years old. I think that's a bit too young. Mm. But 12 years and upwards and university. Mm. And I think universities, I believe, are where a lot of this anti-Semitism starts. Mm. And we can go into that later.
Yeah.
But kids go out of school innocently, they go to universities and they become an anti-Semite, as has proven recently. So I believe all this started in universities.
Yeah.
Because you have academics, professors, who, in my opinion, majority are Jew haters. I believe a lot of this anti-Semitism in universities come from the teaching of professors. They go through the Holocaust. They've read books about it. Mm. Very hardly anyone have actually been in the Holocaust. There's a few Jewish professors, obviously. Mm. But even some of them, there's a group at the moment, a Jewish group, can't remember their name, but they're mainly professors and academics and lawyers and people like that who hate Israel.
So I don't understand why. It's so, like, why is it that some of these apparently educated people are anti-Semitic? Why is that? Like, I'm educated. I read books and that's where my eyes were opened up. I heard stories. I read testimonies of both sides, the haters as well as the non-haters, the people who went through the experience. And that opened up my eyes. How is it that, like, what is going on?
You know, to be honest with you, I don't have an answer to that question because I've never been to university. I left school at 15.
Yeah.
I'm a professor of streetwise.
Yeah.
Because I believe I've learned a lot on the street.
Yeah. And you've had an amazing life.
I've had an interesting life.
I can't wait. I want to tell everyone. So since we started hopefully working on getting your film made, we made a documentary, a short documentary, 15-minute documentary called Reflections of Courage. You guys can go on the Documentary Australia website and look for Reflections of Courage. We're in the process of getting funding so that it can be released to schools, to universities, to museums, to streaming platforms and anywhere else and everywhere else. So just watching, going through making that documentary with you, it's just amazing the wonderful life that you've lived, despite the horrendous things that you guys went through.
Well, I was just going to say, it wasn't the whole life. I've lived the wonderful life. It only started very late in my life.
Yes, you're right.
But coming back to the universities, The problem is, when it started, it should have been stopped straight away. When the university kids, to call them kids or students, mm-hmm. when the university students were allowed to camp in tents on the property of universities like Sydney universities and started shouting, kill the Jews and all that sort of business, should have been stopped by the university leaders. And they didn't do anything. I actually joined them. So the students thought they were on a winner, and they were for quite a long time. The government did nothing. The government should have stopped funding the universities, in my opinion, The federal government I'm talking about, and teach them a lesson, especially the leaders of the universities.
Yeah, there's a lot of, I have a bleeding heart to a fault where even for the people who are on the uninformed side, I'm going to call it, that they really are misguided. It's just kind of been amazing looking on social media and seeing on the news people chanting ridiculous things that they don't even know the meaning of. Like, imagine if someone just came and just said, oh, there's this hardship happening in such and such a place. Can you start chanting because we love children? I mean, it's in this day and age, it's on us to go and research. What are they talking about? And what does this phrase mean? But it's been incredible to see the number of people that are out there that actually don't know what they're standing up for. They don't realize.
The problem is, in my opinion, again, Ukraine and Russia, plenty of children get killed there. I don't hear anybody feeling sorry for them and protesting against Russia. That wasn't only recently when Russia hit a school and five kids got murdered, you know. But it's because it's Jewish. The people, Israelis, are Jews. And therefore, a Jew in Australia, to this mob at universities, they think they're just as much at fault. The world has a population of 8 billion people, and I think about 2 billion are Muslims. I'll tell these people now, there's only 15, 16 million Jews in the whole world. How can they control 8 billion people?
Yeah.
As the university students and the university professors are trying to make out.
Yeah. Another thing that's a concern for me is the whole Australian element. We are Australians.
That's another thing.
So when we are Australians, you come into this country, we protect and defend each other. We may come from different heritage and cultures. We may have, you know, different nuances, but we don't come here and attack our own people. That can't happen. That is not a way to run a country. That's the kind of country you run away from, which a lot of these people
have.
So that kind of connects me. I'm going to bring up their name so that I don't say it incorrectly. Mentioning now the incident at the Bankstown Hospital. And this is all the stuff I got from the Guardian and the Australian newspaper and news.com.au. The influencer Max, sorry if I'm saying it incorrectly, his last name, Max Wafer, the Israeli influencer, who released the video of the two nurses in Blacktown Hospital, Ahmed Rashad Nadir and Sarah Abu Lebde. Again, I'm sorry if I've said those incorrectly, but it's incredible that my understanding, based on what I've read in these newspapers, is that they're allegedly not born in Australia, but they've come to Australia. They've been given citizenship. They've been given an education here, and they still turn around and allegedly say such bigoted and horrendous things about Australian people. These are Australian people. They might have said it about Christians, they might have said it about Filipino people, but they said it about Israeli people, but who are Australians. And they, I think that allegedly the gentleman of those two nurses said that he's actually killed Jewish people. The number of people that he's already said he's sent to Jahannam, which is hell.
I have a view on it, which I'll explain in a minute, but I'll come back to the point. I think these people were born in Afghanistan and came to Australia as a young child. And the male, I think, became an Australian citizen about 4 years ago. Uh-huh. I think he was 12 when he arrived in Australia.
Okay.
I don't know much about the girl there. Yeah. But what you're saying about these people coming out here and not appreciating what Australia is all about. Mm. I came here as a 14-year-old in 1954. Didn't have a father who died shortly after the war for all the sufferings that we went through in the war. My mother decided to take myself, my brother, who was 4 or 5 years older than me at the time, and I had a little sister who was born, luckily, just before my father died, to Australia. We arrived here in 54. We had no money. We had absolutely no family. All my parents' families, both father and mothers, were murdered by the Nazis. So I've never had an uncle, never had an auntie, never had a grandparent, and never had a cousin. So the family was my mother, my little sister, my brother, and I. We came here, we slept on the floor for 3 weeks. My mother got a job at the Coochie Bay Hotel, and the first week we were here as a cleaning lady. I went to school. I only lasted 15. I lasted 18 months and then got a job at a radio station, actually. But the point I'm making is, and the Italians came out in big numbers in the 1950s and the Greeks in 1950s and 1960s. And those people, especially Italians and the Greeks, made this country for what it is today. They didn't complain about whatever the shortcomings was. None of us immigrants got any help from the government. You arrived here either with or without money, most without money. Look at the way hard-working Greeks in Australia, Italians in Australia.
Yeah.
You know, now the people who come out today, I don't believe in multiculturalism. In my book in 2017, I said multiculturalism doesn't work. Mm. It doesn't work. Integration works. Mm. Multiculturalism is what you're bringing out at the moment, which the Middle Eastern population who leave their country where they can't walk on the street and shout slogans like they're doing now.
Yeah.
But they want to change Australia to where they came from.
Yeah.
Well, my answer to this, and I've said this on TV before, go back where you came from. You know? Yeah.
I'm so, so incredibly thankful for the journey I've had in Australia. I've never experienced racism in Australia coming towards me ever. And I'm so thankful for all the cultures that I grew up with and all the examples of the many parents who came here of Middle Eastern background, of Arabic, of Persian, of Greek and Italian and Cantonese and Mandarin and all the indigenous, Aboriginal, all of these backgrounds where our goal was to be friends with each other, to include each other in the beauty of each other's cultures. And I really feel, I mean, I could be wrong, but I feel like majority of Australians who come from other countries, they do a really good job of integrating, but there's always the bad apples. And it doesn't help when you go into a community and isolate yourself from everyone else who's Australian that doesn't share the viewpoint or the very small viewpoint that you ran away from, that you came from.
So the Greeks, the Italians worked hard. They opened milk bars, Italian restaurants. A lot of them have had sort of farms around the fringes of Sydney, but they all work 24 hours a day virtually to make this country what it is today.
Yeah.
But the people that come out today, why bring out people that the government at the moment knows are not going to fit into the Australian way of life?
Fit in meaning they hate the Australian way of life.
Correct. You know, if they want to keep their own, as I said before,
that's fine.
Go back where you came from, or don't bring them out in the first place.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I'm not a political person.
You're not a political person. You're not a religious person.
No, I am who I am.
Yeah.
And I look at life this way. It is what it is. Mm. You know, I'm not going to be able to change anything.
Yeah.
I can help people.
I want people to, once you watch the documentary, you've lost your whole family.
Yeah.
You've lost your whole family, Eddie. And you guys, the Boas family, you came here without your dad. And you're sitting here, not bigoted, not hateful, but talking about how can we live in peace and harmony and upholding people who just get on with it. And take care of each other. And you've got, you've always had a very multicultural group of friends who have different beliefs, come from different walks of life.
Yeah. When I arrived here as a 14-year-old, I couldn't speak English. Mm. My mother went to some person to interview me. She was told by somebody in the government, send it to so-and-so and they figure out a school. They picked a school at Maroubra Junction, which is a boys' school. Was called South Sydney Junior Technical College, but never the most famous person to come out of that school was the flower seller at Martin Place. And I made friends there, and there were a lot of immigrants and a lot of the Aboriginal people. In those days, a lot of Lebanese Christians came out, and they all fitted in.
Beautiful.
Everybody mixed. At Coogee, where I lived in the street, I joined a group of boys from two Russians, two Dutch girls, an Italian, a New Zealander, and a Hungarian girl whose boyfriend was a girlfriend of one of these Australian boys.
Yeah.
Nobody ever knew who anybody's religion was. Mm. You know, you don't say, nobody talked about religion. We all went out together. They taught me a lot about Australia.
Aww.
And they Australianized me, as did the school. It's And that's how it should be.
Yeah.
You know, I wasn't the only one. The Russians, I'm still friends with the ones who haven't died from the Kuchip days.
Yeah.
The way of life in Australia in those days, and as it went on, in my opinion, made Australia the greatest country in the world. I owe a lot to Australia.
Me too.
Right? And I appreciate that.
Good on you, Eddie.
And to me, I can go back and tell you when I went to the bank one day after I had two young kids and I just got divorced and I needed some money to borrow money for a deposit on a townhouse. And the bank knocked me back because I had no money.
Okay.
Yeah. I just had a job earning wages. As I said before, I never went to university. I'd work at 2CH as what they call a panel operator, sitting behind a screen like that, or not a screen, a radio thing, and yet those days plugging things and microphones.
Wow.
And I worked there for 6 years and helped my mother pay the rent and my food, you know. And as time went on, I was a salesman most of my life, selling cash registers and typewriters and adding machines. And I made some pocket money when Australia changed over from sterling to decimal in 1963, I think, something like that, when I earned quite a bit of commission and I was able to afford to buy a second-hand car and things like that.
Yeah.
A bit of commission gave me a little bit. I could afford to go to the movies. But I'm not complaining about my early life. I get asked at the presentations I do, I hate the Germans? Mm. I don't hate the Germans. Mm. Do I hate the Dutch? Because the Dutch weren't very good to the Jews either. Mm. I don't hate the Dutch. You know, I might not like the Germans, I might not like the Dutch,
okay.
But today's generation has nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
You know, I got this question asked at the same venue last year. Somebody put their hand up in question time and said, do you hate the Germans? And I said, no, well, I just told them exactly what I thought. But I said, except I did hate him this morning because I beat Holland in a European soccer match and everybody laughed.
Yeah.
You know, Australia is a good life. And if you, the people come out today, if they adjust, they start living the Australian life, then they will have a good life.
Yeah. What I'm hoping and looking forward to, and maybe they've already started, I don't know yet. And if anyone's watching this and you've got links to it, send it to me. But I'm looking forward to the peaceful Muslims standing up and saying, we don't stand for this. We love our Australian Jewish brothers and sisters. That's what I'm looking forward to. Because if someone came out a bad apple from the Christian community and started saying hateful, disgusting things like that and behaving the way that those two Bankstown nurses allegedly did, I would believe that the Christians would stand up and go, we don't share that view of that particular Christian. We are standing up in solidarity with our Australian Jewish brothers and sisters. So I'm really excited to see and hear more of that. So if you guys have that online, please send it to me. Put it in the links, DM it to me. I'd be excited to see that.
Well, there are quite a few Christian organizations who have pro-Israel meetings. There's quite a few.
Good.
I've spoken.
But I'm looking for the Muslim ones.
You'll be waiting a long time, I think. I won't be around. The problem is they were brought up hating Jews. That's a real problem. You know, but the problem is they bring it to Australia and we have a weak government at present time who can't stop it. They are too weak.
It's this Western niceness.
And that's,
just like let everybody say whatever they want to say.
I'm talking about a federal government.
Yeah.
I believe Mr. Mintz is doing a good job.
Okay.
You know, he's saying what should be said.
Okay.
And he said so within 2 days of October 7th.
Okay.
The federal government, and I've been saying this publicly for quite a while now, we have a weak prime minister.
Mm. Yeah.
And he's not the right person for the job, in my opinion.
Yeah.
He's just not the right person for the job. I'm not talking about the Labor Party. I know nothing about the Labor Party. But the Prime Minister, he seems to be scared of a microphone. You know, in my opinion, he hasn't got a... when he apologizes for something happened to a cinema being burned down or something happened, he reads it off a piece of paper. That should come from the heart from a prime minister, not from a piece of paper.
With shame.
You know, it's we need a strong government. Bring in immigrants. We need immigrants, obviously. But let's check them a bit, especially after the last 2 years.
Yeah. Can I ask, when people read your book and watch the documentary, what do you want them to come away with?
Well, first of all, a Holocaust should never happen again. I go through quite a bit of detail how I was nearly dead of typhus. That's what Anne Frank died of. And many Jews died of typhus, and not just Jews, gypsies. The Jews weren't the only one who were persecuted. The gypsies were too. Over a million of them were murdered. And then the gay community, the same thing. So the Jews were the majority, but because the Jews couldn't defend themselves. People say, have asked me the question, why didn't they fight back? Well, they didn't have guns in the first place. And ordinary people fighting an army, and in the end, the police force in Holland and in all countries that got occupied, generally turned against, went with the Germans and Nazis and turned against the population. So, in Holland, there were quite a number of Jews. When I say that, for a small country, there were 120,000 Dutch Jews and 20,000 refugees from Poland, Poland and Germany. Yeah, they came to Holland, 20,000 of them. And of the 120,000 Jews either born in Holland or became Dutch citizens, 107,000 were sent to a concentration camp and 105,000 were murdered. Only 5,000 survived.
Oof, I mean.
Which is the per head of population, the biggest total of Jews per head of population murdered. So the Dutch turned against the Jews as well. There initially.
You know, a lot of people don't know that. I guess, I'll be honest, I read history, but there's still a lot more I don't know about that, and I'm learning. But I didn't know that until
I got a lot of questions about that, but the Dutch government never pulled me up, and I've sent them a lot of information, the way I got the information from. People check it out and they see exactly the same. The police were offering the Dutch community money to turn in Jews. The neighbors, before the war started, before the 1930s, before the Nazis came into power, the Dutch opened Jews with open arms, welcomed Jews with open arms. My parents' family had lived in Holland, both of them, for 200 years, mixed with the Jewish, with the non-Jewish people. They all mixed together. And the neighbors, my mother said, babysat for the neighbors, and the babysat myself and my brother. Then in 1931, when the Dutch Nazi Party became into power, things started to change. And they became anti-Jews. And in the end, the Jews were betrayed by the Dutch bureaucracy, the Dutch police, and their neighbors. Somebody recently, a few years ago, wrote a book and made a movie of Who Betrayed Anne Frank. And I saw this and I wrote to the director of that movie. This was around about 2010, maybe. I'm not sure exact date. And I said, I can tell you who betrayed Anne Frank. It was either the Dutch bureaucracy, the Dutch police, or their Dutch neighbors. They came out with something that said that a lawyer who happens to be Jewish betrayed the Anne Frank family. There was such an uproar about the whole thing that the book was taken off the market and things like that. You know, it's the Dutch are nice people. But they turned, and it doesn't matter, coming back to these Jews who in Australia who are anti-Israel and anti-Jewish, there were plenty of Dutch bureaucrats and leaders who helped the Nazis and betrayed their own people, they all ended up in concentration camps too, and they got murdered.
You mean help the Jews? Because you just helped the Nazis.
Help the Nazis by betraying the Jews or...
Oh.
Yeah, to...
Oh, and they still ended up in the concentration. Yeah. I see what you're saying.
You know, okay. Yeah. They turned on their own people.
Yeah.
But that is just in Holland. That happened in Poland and other places as well.
Yeah.
And these people here in Australia, and I tell them, when I correspond with them, you can be as nice as you want, yeah, but in the end, your turn will come too.
Yeah. You know, on that note, I was actually looking up who said this particular quote, and I'm sure a lot of people have heard it. Again, I'm going to say the name wrong. Martin Niemöller, a German Lutheran pastor, once said, first they came for the socialist and I did not speak out because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unions and I did not speak out because I was not a trade union. Then they came for the Jews and I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. Then they came for me and there was no one left to speak for me. That makes me emotional.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
I mean, I read somewhere recently that even in the old days in the Middle East, the Christians were also murdered. You know, somewhere they killed all the Jews in an area, then they went on to the Christians.
Yeah.
But we're talking hundreds of years away, but it's going to happen.
If we don't stand up for each other.
If you don't stand up, yeah. And if you don't have a strong government.
Yeah.
You know, as much as people hate Trump around the world, the man stands up for his for the people that live in America.
Turns out there's more that like him than don't, and more have converted than they used to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, you need strong leaders.
Yeah. So let's hope for us that we can kind of pick better leaders for Australia.
Well, I'm a believer. And again, I say this, I'm not a believer. I think we have a silly system of picking members of parliament.
Tell me what.
Well, you got a preference issue.
Yeah.
So look at the people that get into parliament. There's a woman that got into the Labour Party as a senator with, I think, 10 or 12 votes or something. And then she's an Afghan refugee and what's her name? Payman or something like that.
Okay.
And she left the Labour Party and then became an independent and is now an independent. And she's a senator for the next 5 or 6 years or whatever it is. And she's does nothing else but run down Australia in
so
Parliament.
Insane.
And there's quite a few people. The Greens are like that.
It's insane.
You know,
where else in the world do you find that? I think it's very much a Western world thing.
None of these people would get into Parliament in any other country.
And
when they get in, all they do is run down Australia.
Yeah.
And I think people who do that when they're in Parliament should be kicked out.
Yeah.
And replaced by people who do believe in Australia.
Yeah, yeah. I want to go back to these two nurses because I saw in one of those a couple of those newspaper articles that allegedly they found a vial of what, guys?
Morphine.
Allegedly, they found a vial of morphine in the gentleman's locker at the hospital. You know, I truly, truly hope this is an opportunity for these two young people to see the error of their ways and to become good people who are compassionate and kind, that they don't need to follow this ridiculous teaching that a deity is asking them to go and kill fellow human beings. I hope they can figure out a different way of life. I really do wish the best for them. My heart is breaking for them as well. But if they've done any of the disgusting things that they said they wanted to do or that they did, they have to face the consequences of that. I mean, you're an adult. These are not children that you can kind of slap them on the wrist. These are adults that are in health professionals. The sick and the elderly and the needy go to these people. That's not okay. Yeah, I can't get my head around the fact that they might have actually done something, and that they might not be the only people in the health profession that would have done such horrendous things.
Okay. Oh, you want to hear my take on this?
Always.
Okay. And it'd be totally different, like I do with everything, That's to great. Anybody else. In my take on this,
okay,
I got no proof, no nothing. It's like having these marches every week, right? Yeah. And you get young kids coming in because they want to follow the mob. They bring the Palestinian flag. They don't even know what the flag is for. They've never met a Jew in their life. Yeah. But they go and march against Israel and the Jews and all this. And then they go to meetings and become anti-Semites. They get influenced by being attracted to the marches, like, again, university students probably mainly. And they become anti-Semites because then the preachers, whoever they are, start telling them all these things about the Jews.
Yeah.
Okay. My take on this is that this influencer got hold of these people and wanted to interview them and whatever it was. They then started thinking, wow, we're going to go on TV, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, and came up with this ridiculous story. I don't think there's any truth in the whole story.
Okay.
Because the way it all comes out, and the police haven't made any charges yet, I think, I'm not blaming the influencer. He was doing something for his, that's my take on the whole thing. In my experiences, people are not like that normally, what these people are saying.
I agree.
You know, and for these people, to me, they don't have the brains to actually do these things. If they say things like that in public, on TV, you know, like we're going to kill Jews or we have already killed a Jew and whatever they said, to me, they just don't have the brains to do that.
Yeah.
That's my take on it. Now, the police cannot...
And you've gone through the Holocaust.
Yeah, but that doesn't... I'm a great believer that there's more good people in this world than bad people in the world.
Amen. But I want to just keep talking about this. So I'm not disagreeing with you. I was born in Iran, a country that's filled with apparently, allegedly majority Muslims. Nobody's standing up for their rights. Like, I mean, not correction. People are standing up for their rights, and I really love and appreciate Australians who go do marches for the Persian people, for the Iranian people, so that they can be set free and have a democracy and not be just terrorized all these 40-something years by this disgusting Islamic Republic of Iran government. But why aren't all Australians standing up against that? My Persian people are being murdered and killed, and body parts are being sent to their family members, and no one's saying anything.
No, but that's the same of kids being killed in Sudan and places like that. You know?
Yes.
Why isn't anybody, and as I said before about the
Ukraine-Russian
war, because the Jews, for some reason, stand out and are supposed to be ahead of population. They're overachievers.
Yeah.
You know, if you look, you know, like Jews control the world. What, 15 million people? Give me a break. The Jews control the finance. It's all rubbish. But it's preached.
It is.
In this way, in my opinion, it's preached in the universities.
Yeah.
You know, in your country, it's preached in the churches or the mosque, whatever they are. The same. The same in the Arab countries.
Yeah.
But tell me what you just said. Mm. Has anybody ever got on video in Iran and said they're going to kill Jews in hospital? Like these kids did? Has that ever been done?
The disgusting leadership.
No, but the leadership. I'm talking about population like this.
No, my Persian
people. Name me not a country. And that's
my Persian people as a whole. very inclusive, loving, hospitable people. They are not like that disgusting government. So even here, we went to a beautiful rally called Never Again Is Now.
Yeah.
Founded and run, we went, both of us together, by Mark Leach. And it was beautiful to see all the variety of people. And one of the people groups were the Persians standing up for the Jewish people. And I was like, oh, I love you guys. This is Australia. This is what I want to keep having here. This is what we want our children to be. We're the perfect example. We could be the perfect example for the whole world of what it is to be,
we should be.
One unit, like one beautiful nation where we have all the different flavors and diversities and we have different points of view, but let not one of us hang on to a point of view that says my life is better if I kill you. That's a disgusting point of view. Absolutely. And it doesn't belong here.
No, but that is what the Muslim population have been taught in their country.
Yes, and so many don't seem to follow that strategy, which I'm thankful for.
you had a an inman, they call them, not preachers,
imam.
The evening of October 7 in Australia, the evening, Saturday night in Australia, after the massacre had been done in Israel, dancing in the street and singing about how wonderful it was and all that. And they showed it on TV. Haven't you seen it on TV?
No, I didn't.
And
but there's so much I don't see.
He doesn't get arrested or anything. And these inmen, whatever they're called.
Imams, yeah.
Can go into the congregation and tell them, go and kill Jews. Now, okay, it's a religion thing, apparently. But is that an excuse to tell your congregation, go and kill Jews?
No.
It shouldn't be.
Again, those who follow the Muslim faith, who are against that belief and lifestyle, I'm so excited to see you guys come out on social media and defend and protect your Australian Jewish brothers and sisters. So I'm excited to see that. So let's see how it goes.
Now, look, I'm not all Muslims are bad people. The majority of Muslims are good people. Like the majority of people are good people in the world.
They come from these beautiful cultures.
But it is unfortunately a bad lot that get hold of them and start preaching or whatever you want to call it and you know, make some of them turn against Jews and Christians or whatever it might be. And that's where I think a government should step in.
Yeah.
You know, to stop that.
Yeah.
And not many people say what I'm saying publicly because they're afraid to say it publicly. And all I'm saying is the truth.
Yeah. Thank you. I really appreciate you, Eddie. I just can't like putting myself in your position of there's such a likelihood that myself and so many others would have this mentality that the world is taking away everything from me, so let me just live it really bitter and angry. And you know, I really wouldn't judge anyone for that, but I'm just so thankful for you and so many other Jewish people who are such peace loving kind, generous people who just live and let live.
But I don't think it's just the Jews.
No, I didn't know that.
It's as well.
The Jews,
other people as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's like some of the most hardworking people. I guess I'm blessed to know so many hardworking people from different cultures, but I specifically love Asians. Asians are just yummy to me. Their food is yummy. Their culture is yummy. Their people are yummy. They're just so precious, so hardworking. They just get on with it. They're not about, hey, I'm a victim, let me yell about it. They just get on with it and they make friends with other people and they get into communities. I just love that so much. I find that in the Jewish people. I find that in a lot of the Arab cultures that I've been a part of, that I just love them. They're so hospitable, so loving, so inviting. The people that are Greeks, I had beautiful Greek friends throughout school as well. And so there's such a diversity of amazing human beings in Australia. I want them to speak up. But the thing is, good people just get on with life, so we don't have them speaking up as much.
And they got a, they don't speak up because, again, I say it, nothing is being done about the bad people saying things. People can say anything, they don't get arrested. The people, and whatever the reason is, I don't know. Well, no, it's politics, you know. Or Jews have no say in the result of the election. There's only 120,000 Jews, and Jews do not control any electorate. Mm-hmm. The Muslims have five different electorates that if Labour or whoever doesn't win it, doesn't get into government. So it's all politics, in my opinion, that they are not doing anything. Because as soon as they start arresting people, the Muslim community will start going berserk.
Yeah. I do have a problem with, I appreciate what you're saying that, you know, they're probably just talking, basically. They're not, they didn't do it. They didn't have the guts to do it or the brains to do it. I get what you're saying, but I do have a problem with that kind of rhetoric just being dismissed.
Mm-hmm.
And just being like, oh, they're just kids. They're not kids. They're grown adults.
I'm not saying that. Yeah. I think that the police should actually go in there, arrest them and all that.
Yeah.
And then in the end, whatever comes out.
Because nobody else, like, let's just say we've got all of these people from different belief systems just getting on with their life. And then these two oddballs, they say something horrendous. And we're just like, guys, you know, yes, be gentle, and they're not doing well, they're in hospital, whatever their situation is right now, they're not doing well mentally. But if anybody stood up, let's say a Christian, a Jewish person, a Buddhist, an atheist, stand up and said, do you know how many Muslim people I've killed in hospital already, or I want to send them all to hell? I don't know that we'd ever have peace in this country again. No one would go, they just give them a little punishment. They'd be like, no, we need to annihilate everyone who doesn't. I don't know. It just would be such a different response.
No, what I'm saying, my take on this.
I'm not opposing you. I'm just thinking
police,
about it.
No, the police should still arrest these people, you know, and do their investigations and come out whatever you come out with, you know, in the end. If it's a
been
true
7 days, right? Nothing's been done.
Well, still nothing has
been done. That's
the whole problem of all this is, you know. Yeah. I mean, you know, I think the first person ever arrested was only in all these marches and saying things. And you know.
Wasn't it a Jewish gentleman who was peacefully?
It was the person who.
Mark Leach?
Yeah. Yeah. You know. And
interesting.
And he now runs a unit of a group of people who have meetings all the time and are pro-Jewish and sort of...
Never again is now?
Yeah, never again is
now. Beautiful. Yeah. I hope he can come on this podcast.
Well, I spoke
to... Be great to talk to him.
In Victoria via Zoom last year to about 400 Christian people. A pastor rang me and invited me.
Yeah.
And and the questions were terrific, and the whole thing was fantastic. It went on for about an hour.
Mm.
And one of the people there was a member of parliament.
Yeah.
In Victoria, as a liberal. And she got up the next day and said she met this wonderful man and raved all about me, what I'd said.
Yeah.
You know, and I thought, well, that's a nice person, you know?
Yeah, lovely.
If you know, I don't do it to get publicity. I'm not looking for it. I don't do it for money.
Yeah.
What I'm doing, I do it because I believe the story has to be told.
Amen. And can I want to share with everyone one of the things that I love so much about the Boaz story, your family story. I love your mom and dad so much. When I read it, it was beyond a Holocaust story, beyond a Jewish story. Not that that's not significant as it is, but it relates to every mom, everyone, every dad. It wasn't about these Jewish people and how do they manage to survive? Who helped them? How do they, it wasn't that. It was, I just saw, oh my word, I can't stop being emotional. I just saw so many loving, amazing mothers from all around the world and fathers working together to save their children.
Yeah.
Someone else made it about something you have no control of, what you're born into. But they didn't make it about that. They made it about their family. They made it about survival. And they're just amazing human beings. And I will forever, forever work on getting their story told to the world. And guys, if you do want to support us in getting that story out, please go to Documentary Australia, look up Reflections of Courage, so that we can get this beautiful documentary to everyone. And you're everywhere, by the way. You're like every channel I'm seeing, they're talking to Eddie. I'm looking up everything online. And where can people find out more about you?
Just go to my website.
What's your website?
It's Eddie Boas, Eddie with a Y and B-O-A-S. .com.au.
EddieBoas.com.au. They can see everything about you, and they can get in contact with you as well. And go to Documentary Australia and support this beautiful documentary, an Australian story that needs to be told. Let us never forget. Never again is now, for sure. Anything else you want to say to everybody, Eddie?
No, thank you very much. I think you're doing a fantastic job.
You're one of my favorite people.
Thank you very much. I can't say I enjoy doing what I'm doing, but I'm satisfied. Like I get satisfaction about going to a school, going to a business, or wherever I speak.
Yeah,
that's what my payback is for that.
Yeah, I know you do not yet believe in a God, but may the God you don't believe in bless you and your family. May there be many, many, many generations of the Boas family.
Thank you very much.
Love you, Eddie.
Thank you. I love you too. Thanks.